Vitan Saroy publishes the leading Albanian newspaper in Kosovo, called Koha Ditora. Last year, as the Serbs drove Albanians out of Kosovo, Serbs shut down the newspaper's offices. During the NATO bombing, Saroy chose to remain in Kosovo, but he was a target of the Serb police, so he was forced into hiding. Last week, he was in Washington to receive an award from the National Endowment for Democracy, which is funded by the U.S. Congress to help strengthen democratic institutions around the world. We caught up with him by phone from New York yesterday, just before he flew back to Kosovo. Last August, after ethnic Albanians returned to Kosovo, he wrote a piece condemning Albanian revenge attacks against Serbs. I asked him to sum up what he said.
Well, my basic idea was that the Kosovars, having gone through collective persecution, institutionalized persecution, should not allow themselves to be repeating the acts against which they rose in the first place.
What kind of reaction did that piece get?
I think in general, the everyday man, the people on the street, they greeted me on that. Of course, there were people who publicly denounced me as a traitor or as a sold soul or I don't know what other words they used, were threatening my life. But then that's part of the, I think, of a traumatized society's life.
You stayed in Kosovo during the NATO bombing. Why did you stick around? I think you probably could have gotten out.
Well, I had responsibility. I had signed the Rambouillet Accords in Paris. That meant that I would be responsible for the effects of that signature. And I knew, I was quite aware that if the Serbs didn't sign, that there would be a bombing campaign. I thought it was only right for me to be there with the other people, with my staff, and then with the people in general. In that hardest period of time, I had fought very much for the signature of this of the Rambouillet Accords.
And that was meant to create a peace, although it ended up with bombing.
It was, but then Milosevic didn't want peace or didn't want a peaceful settlement.
So you were hoping to continue publishing the newspaper. What happened at the newspaper during the bombing?
In the first night, the paramilitaries and the secret police raided our newspaper and they killed our guards. Later, a day after, they burnt our printing press, so it was quite a desolate picture.
Is that why you ended up going underground in hiding?
Yes.
Where did you stay? What kind of people were willing to protect you?
Oh, well, people who knew me and whom I necessarily didn't know. But there was a wide sense of solidarity in those days.
Did you have any close calls?
Well, I had several close calls. We were once surrounded by police in the home where we were staying, and we were very fortunate that after some hours they decided that it was desolate, that it was deserted, and they got caught in looting. Actually, we were very lucky that some of the forces were more interested in looting than in anything else, so whenever they found things they could steal, they were concentrated more on that.
So the corruption of the Serb forces worked in your favor?
It did, yes.
You've said it before that you realized at some point you were endangering the lives of the families that were protecting you because there would be more of a target as long as you were there. When you had that realization, were you sorry that you had stayed?
There was a mixed feeling because I thought that by staying I could be of some help. I soon realized that not only couldn't I help anything or anybody, but that I actually was in a position in which I needed to be helped. And that helpless situation obviously wasn't a good feeling. Neither was a good feeling that I was endangering other people by myself staying there.
did you feel about the NATO bombing when you were in hiding? Did you feel like NATO was attacking you or that NATO was attacking your enemy?
Well, I felt that it was insufficiently attacking the enemy. I thought the bombing should have been much harsher. It should have been concentrated on strategic positions of the Serb society.
I'm not sure if you've seen it, but Newsweek broke a story this week saying that the bombing did far less damage to Serb forces in Kosovo than was reported, and that, in fact, the air campaign against the Serb military in Kosovo was largely ineffective. Newsweek says that according to a suppressed Air Force report obtained by Newsweek, the number of targets verifiably destroyed was a tiny fraction of those claimed, 14 tanks, not 120, 18 armored personnel carriers, not 220, 20 artillery pieces, not 450. What do you think of this?
I was aware of that situation during the war, and I thought, actually, that once they started attacking the objects of strategic importance to the society as a whole, then that would change Milosevic. To put things in a more ironical mood, Mr. Milosevic thought that he would be endangered once the average citizen, of middle-class citizen, didn't have electricity to have his espresso or cappuccino on the terrace outside because they were spending this war watching from terraces and parks.
Milosevic thought that people would give up much quicker?
I think he would have given up much quicker had there been a decisive attack on Belgrade, on and around Belgrade.
When the NATO bombing of Kosovo was over, what was it like for you to get the newspaper running again? The newspaper was shut down by the Serbs during the bombing. You say the guard for the newspaper was killed. What did it take to get the newspaper running?
Well, the newspaper was running during the war, but from refugee camps in Macedonia. Most of the staff was evicted from Pristina, and once out, they decided that they would continue publishing now as refugees. So it was a rather smooth transition to get them back from the refugee position to the office. Of course, we had to go through the very painful experience of starting to get new equipment, although we were supported in those initial stages by organizations, by Western organizations. And then we had to go through building the new printing press. But the most important thing was that we had preserved our staff and that none of our journalists or producing staff was killed.
My guest is Vitan Saroy, publisher of Kosovo's leading Albanian newspaper. More after a break. This is Fresh Air. If you're just joining us, my guest is Vitan Saroy. He publishes the leading Albanian newspaper in Kosovo, and he just received the Democracy Award from the National Endowment for Democracy, which is a nonprofit, bipartisan organization funded by Congress with the goal of assisting organizations abroad working for democratic goals. Was your home damaged during the bombing in Kosovo?
It wasn't. My home was not damaged. I was, I think, lucky because it became the local police headquarters for my neighborhood.
Serb police?
The Serb police, yeah.
Well, that's pretty ironic.
It is very ironic, and I think they had, when I went into my home, I saw that they had packed most of the valuable things, which they hadn't looted until then, including spoons and forks and what have you, but that they couldn't take those away because they left in a hurry.
Did the place feel different to you? Did it feel creepy knowing it had been used as Serb police headquarters? And let's add here that the Serb police were looking for you the whole time you were underground. You were one of the targets.
Yeah, it was funny when I saw my door. And it had a sign on it saying local police headquarters. And when I entered, I saw the place in turmoil, more or less, because they had been looking for objects of value and documents and things like that. So I saw actually the past 15 years of my and my family's life spread there out on the floor, our pictures and the things we had gone through.
Do you have any idea why the Sur Police chose your home as their headquarters?
I don't know. They looked for me the first night, and when they didn't find me, it was a special police unit, they went away and they got a good friend of mine, a lawyer, Bayram Kelmendi, and his two sons, and they took them out of Pristina and executed them on a road. I think it was probably a sign of assertion of their authority that they would be in my apartment rather than in some other apartments.
What is the UN presence like now in Kosovo?
The UN presence is at its peak. It won't get much stronger. It is an unprecedented operation. And there are very fine people who are trying with very few means to try to pretend to be in administration. They are trying to install themselves in institutions, try to create new institutions. But that is, again, trying to create a virtual reality, a reality of Kosovo being administered by a Tower of Babel.
It doesn't sound like you have a lot of confidence.
No, not at all, no. I don't see them having built an administration, and I don't see them they will build one in the future. I think there needs to be a redefinition of the mission in the sense of not trying to build the administration by themselves, but nurturing the process of democratic institution building.
What do you think the chances are of Kosovo actually getting its independence? What do you think it will take to become totally independent of Serbia?
Well, I think it will take as I said, a process of deepening the democratic institution building process, transforming the economy, trying to create better relations with the neighbors, and certainly trying to create a tolerant society. And I think Kosovo should be measured by those yardsticks and not by one or the other news story.
Do you think you're making any progress toward becoming a more tolerant society?
I don't think so, because a tolerant society can be created only through institutions. It is not sufficient to rely on goodwill of the people to try to create tolerance. If you don't have courts and if you don't have rule of law, if you don't have a functioning economy, it's very difficult to see how you can create a tolerant society.
Is there no rule of law now? Are things pretty anarchic?
No, I don't think there is a rule of law. There aren't laws, there aren't courts, functioning courts, there aren't sufficient policemen. It's quite far from being a society ruled by law.
Is it chaotic?
It's rather anarchic, yes.
You did mention in one newspaper article that people are stopping at red lights.
Well, this is the self-restraint of the society. The society still behaves in its majority with the assumption that it has to respect some rules, and these are built-in rules which people have gone through either inside Kosovo or outside when they were refugees. And this shows a positive predisposition of the Kosovar society to actually build a society of rule of law.
Are you still threatened by the Serbs? Do you think that there are still Serbs who are trying to get you?
Well, I would suppose that Milosevic will try to keep tensions high. But then I don't think that's the major concern. I think the major concern is how to stabilize a society, how to institutionalize a society, and not really keep worrying about this man who's well known for
for evil.
Well, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Vitan Saroy publishes Kosovo's leading Albanian newspaper. Last week, he received an award from the National Endowment for Democracy in Washington, D.C.